here, or y'all glad to be here? Amen. All right, it's good to meet together in this place to give our attention to our Lord and to His Word, to sing His praises, to lift up prayers individually and corporately to Him with the full confidence that He hears and answers our prayers. Well, if you have your Bibles with you, I hope you do, turn to the Gospel of John. We're just going to read one verse, John chapter 9 and verse number 39. It'll be one of the verses that we look at today as we continue our short little series to end our year, looking at the reasons that Jesus gave that he came. And so if you have it there in either in a paper copy or, buddy, I see you looking on your phone. If you have it on your phone, then if you're willing and able, please stand as we read this great little verse in John chapter 9, and I'll just read verse number 39. And Jesus said, "For judgment I have come into this world, so that the blind will see, and that those who see will become blind." And let's take an occasion to pray. Our Father, Lord, we thank you for this day that you have brought us together to this place, that we might join together as your church, your people, whom you redeemed by the mighty work of your Son. Lord, we do pray for the many in our number that are not here this day. We pray that you would that your blessing would be upon them, that they might fill the fellowship of your Spirit and miss the fellowship of your church. Lord, for those that are sick, we pray your healing hand upon them, and that you might grant a speedy recovery, so that they might get back to the duties and the enjoyments of our life. And Lord, for the enjoyment of the rest of this hour, we pray that you would give us ears to see and eyes, or ears to hear and eyes to see the wonderful things that are in your Word, and cause us, Lord, to love your Son all the more and to follow hard after Him. And in His name, I pray. Amen. And you may be seated. Well, one of the big questions in life is, why are we here? Have you ever asked that about yourself and wondered, you know, what is my purpose in life? You know, why was I born, and why am I here in the first place, or in any place? I mean, why are we here? You ever pondered the reason of your existence? This is a good question for all of us to ask. They are very important, the personal questions that us as Christians, through the help of the Scripture and through the Spirit, that we can answer for ourselves. But they are questions that Jesus Christ Himself answered about His individual life. I mean, Jesus Christ knew why He was here. He knew, and He said and stated the reason that He was born and the reason that He came into this world. I have found over 15 different times where Jesus Christ clearly stated in the Gospels the very purpose that was his life. He said, "This is the reason that I was born into this world, and I came into this world for this, that, or the other, and this is why I came." And so I kind of wanted to take the last three Sundays of this year and to try to explore a little bit some of the reasons that Jesus Christ gave for His coming into our world. And last week we saw that Jesus Christ said that He came to be a preacher. He did a lot of things, but as He went from one town, He said, "I got to go to another town and preach to them as well, because that is why I came. Jesus Christ came into this world to be a proclaimer of a message. At the end of his life, when he was before Pilate, he said, "The reason that I was born and came into this world was to testify to the truth." That is why he came. And Jesus also said that he didn't come just to proclaim the truth and to proclaim a message, but he came to fulfill the very message that he proclaimed and preached. He said, I didn't come to do away with the law or the prophets. Don't think I came to do away with them or change anything. I came to fulfill every jot and tittle that is in the law and all of the very will of God that he gave me to do. Jesus came not only to preach, but to practice what he preached, so that he could provide his achievements and the things that he earned, he could provide his merits to his hearers and his followers. Jesus said that he was born to obey so that he could convey his righteousness to us. Jesus came to proclaim God's will, and he did God's will for us and in our very place. Those are some reasons that he said, this is why I came. I came to proclaim, I came to fulfill, and I came to provide for my hearers. Well, this week we're going to note some other reasons that Jesus gave on the reason for his coming. And I think these maybe at least some of them a little more surprising reasons that Jesus gave for the reason of his existence when he came to minister here on earth. And these reasons that we're going to look at today, Jesus gives them by way of contrast. He gives a positive and he gives a negative. He gives it by way of negation on this, I didn't come for this reason. He just lays it out. This, I didn't come for this reason, but I did come for this reason. He lays it out positively and he lays it out negatively, so that there shouldn't be any confusion on our parts when he says, this is why I came. And he says, now this is why I didn't come, but this is the reason that I came. And you know, this is the time of the year that we often hear, and we hear it quite often, the little phrase, remember the reason for the season. And we're often encouraged by certain, you know, in sermons or Christians and talking to one another, we need to remember the reason. And so let us, in this season, remember the reasons that Jesus gave as the very purpose of his coming. And I'm going to start off with today where Jesus mentioned that he came for sinners. When Jesus came, he came with a certain segment of society in mind. I mean, when he came and he said, I came to proclaim a message and to fulfill a message, and so he comes to deliver this message. But there was a target audience for the message in which he delivered. Now, you might say in some way it's kind of like advertisers today. They're wanting to advertise or something and get the message out. And, you know, they want everybody to know. But there's a target audience. There's a certain demographic that they're going to put the advertising to. I really want to get these people's attention because there is a purpose behind the advertising. And so too with our Lord Jesus. He comes to proclaim a message and to preach, but there is a mission in his message and a target audience that he wants to hear it. And when Jesus was proclaiming this message, as he said, this is what I came to do, something often happened. The important people in society, you know, the movers and the shakers, the big shots in society, often objected to the kind of crowd that Jesus concentrated on. The people that he would sit and eat with, the kind of people that he would preach to, the kind of people that he would bring his message to, the highfalutin folk in society didn't really like it because Jesus concentrated on a certain kind of people. He mentions this a couple different times, one in Matthew 9, but I'm going to read the one in Mark 2, and just listen to this in Mark 2, verses 16 and 17, where Jesus, he defines why he came, and in verse 16, we see the context there, where he says, whoops, wrong chapter. I was about to read you. It's another good verse, but it wasn't the one I was going. Mark chapter 2 and verse 16 and 17. And verse 16 says, when the teachers of the law, who were Pharisees, these were the conservative religious folks, saw him eating with the sinners and the tax collectors, they asked his disciples, why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners? And on hearing this, Jesus said to them, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. And a couple different times in the Gospels, Jesus clarified, I did not come to call the righteous, but I have come to call sinners to repentance. Jesus states it negatively as well as positively on who his target audience was and what was the reason that he came. Jesus said unequivocally, I did not come to call the righteous. I did not come to call the healthy. That there is a certain segment of society that his message was really not meant for, and his message really comes across as offensive too. For those who got it all together. For those who think they're pretty good people. For the healthy, the wealthy, and the wise. Jesus Christ says, I did not come to give them a message. I did not come for the righteous. I did not come for the healthy. But he says positively, but I did come for a certain group. My message is tailored to a certain segment of society. He says, I did come for the sinners. I did come for the sick because he is a great physician, and he says, I'm not going to deal with folk that think they're healthy. I'm going to deal with folk that know they're sick. I'm going to deal with people that know that they are sinners. Jesus Christ comes with a message only for the needy and the nasty. That's who he comes for. And the healthy, wealthy, and wise have no need for the message that Jesus brings. And you know, when Jesus says, the reason that I came, I didn't come to call the righteous, but I came to call the sinners unto repentance. You know, this is great news. This is really good news for those that are bad. I mean, if you know yourself to be in this category of sick and sinner and needy and nasty, if you know yourself you're in this category, it is good news to hear that he came for those that are bad. But it is bad news for those who think they are good. You know, I mean, because Jesus said, I didn't come for those folks. My message is going to rub those folks the wrong way. You know, who was our Lord's biggest enemies during his ministry? I mean, Jesus' biggest enemies were the best of society. The cream of the crop. It was the religious leaders, the conservative religious leaders, the highfalutin in society. Those that have raised up, and they were the movers and the shakers. They were They're the ones that had it all together. But yet Jesus preached this message that offended their sensibilities. I mean, Jesus came with a message that highlighted sin. And he came and he said, there is no one good but God. And he tells the religious people, how can you who are evil say anything good? And they were so wrapped up in their own goodness and their own self-righteousness that they did not have a place in their heart for Jesus' message. You see, they were too good for a message that was targeted to bad people. Jesus only came for bad people. He came for the sinners. He came for the needy and the nasty. But the righteous, the good, the healthy, the wealthy, the wise, they had no use for a message that Jesus targeted to sinners. And you know, people still today, they object to Jesus' message. And usually when they hear the gospel and, you know, there were sinners and we need to be saved and Jesus is the only way to be saved, the objection that is usually given is one of self-righteousness. They declare their own goodness. Because Jesus comes and He tells us we're sinners and the people that are good and righteous, they say, no, I'm not that bad. I'm a pretty good person. You know, I'm better than this person or that person. And they always revert to their own goodness and their own self-righteousness. And that's why the gospel offends so many people. Because the gospel is not for those that are confident of their own goodness. That's not why He came. His message is for sinners. It is not for those who think they're righteous. It's for those who know themselves to be sinners. And Jesus did not come to make nice people nicer, and to make healthy people healthier, and to make wealthy people wealthier. Jesus came to call sinners to repentance. That is why He came. And you know that our Lord gave an example of this in Luke chapter 18 of two guys that went to the temple to pray. Here's two guys, they're going to church. One was the conservative Pharisee, and another just, you know, a sinner tax collector, you know, guy on the outside, a reject from society. And the Pharisee, Jesus said, went to the temple and he prayed about himself. He was confident of his own righteousness. And he says, Lord, I thank you. I am not like other men. You know, I'm not like a thief and, you know, the adulterer or the drunkard. And, you know, I fast every week and I come and I give my tithes. I'm such a great guy. And the other guy, he wouldn't even lift up his eyes to heaven. And he just beat his breast and he said, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. And Jesus says, I tell you, that guy is the one who went away redeemed, justified. Not the self-righteous guy, because Jesus did not come to call the righteous and those confident of their own goodness and that I'm an all right kind of guy. That's not who Jesus' message is for. It's only for the sinner, the outcast, the needy and the nasty. And you know, our Lord's first coming in Bethlehem, I think, illustrates this very much. You remember when he came and he was born, the angels came and made an announcement. Here, what a great thing to happen. The Son of God is born. Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth towards men with whom God is pleased. A great announcement, but who was that announcement made to? Did the angels go to Jerusalem, to the religious leaders, and in their palaces, and in their theological seminaries, and all the cream of the crop of society? Is that who the message was announced to? No. The angels came to the shepherds who were keeping watch over their flocks by night, because Jesus did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. In fact, let me just read a passage from 1 Corinthians where the Apostle Paul asks us to contemplate this very thought. In 1 Corinthians 1, verse 26, he says, "Brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called." Remember when Jesus called you, think about it. "Not many were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth, but God chose the foolish things of this world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before Him. It is because of Him that you're in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord." I tell you, he said, think about it. Jesus did not come to call the righteous. He didn't call us because we're good folk. He called us because we were bad. Jesus came to point out our faults, to show us our sins, and then to say He is the fix for our faults and our sins. And so if you think that you're pretty good, if you hear the gospel and you come to church and we sing the hymns and you come away thinking, you know, I'm an all right kind of guy. I kind of got it together. I'm pretty good and I'm better than this guy or that gal or whatever. You know, I'm all that in a bag of chips. If that is your thought, then Jesus did not come for you. He did not come to call the righteous. But if you know that you are bad, then I have good news for you. Because Jesus did not come to call the righteous, but He came to call sinners to repentance. That is the reason that He came. He came for sinners. Not for good people, but for bad people. Now another reason that He gave to gave for his coming was not just that He came for sinners, but He says he came for sight, to give sight and even to take away sight. This was the verse that I read at the beginning of the message in John chapter 9 and verse 39. I'll just read it again. Jesus said, "For judgment I have come into this world." Here, this is why I came into the world. This is why I was born. This is why I'm here. "For judgment I have come into this world, so that the blind will see, and those who see will become blind." Now, you might find this somewhat of a surprising and maybe even a shocking reason that Jesus Christ gave for His coming into the world. He said, "The reason I was born, the reason I'm here, the reason I'm in the world, I'm here to bring judgment. I'm here so blind people will see and that those who see will become blind." We might shake our heads a little bit at this and say, you know, is this really a reason? But Jesus said this is why He came into the world. A dual purpose is given, that he came to give sight to the blind, but He also came to make those who see become blind. He gives a positive reason as well as a negative reason. I came to give sight to those who are blind and to take away sight from those who think they can see. And so first of all, think about that. Jesus said His purpose in coming was to give sight to the blind. Now, this is shown very often in his healing ministry, where one of the miraculous things that He would do is He would give the blind sight. In fact, the context here in John chapter 9, Jesus gave sight to someone who had been born blind. He's born blind, and Jesus did this amazing miracle in giving sight to someone who was born blind. And so Jesus did this, I take it, very, very often. But Jesus gave physical sight to those that He healed to demonstrate His ability and His purpose to give spiritual sight, because that is why He came into the world. He came so that people could see, so blind people could see. That is why he came into the world. And then to think about it this way, you know, why do some people see the beauty of Christ? And why do some people see the beauty of the gospel? You hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and the narratives and who Jesus is and what he came to do. And some people see it. Some people look at the cross and it is the most beautiful sight in the world where God gave his son to be the sacrifice for sinners. And it's beautiful and they see it. Why do they see it? Well, Jesus has said in John 13 and verse 16, blessed are your eyes if they see, and your ears if they hear. Because Jesus comes to give sight to the blind, and blind sinners can be made to see the beauty of the gospel so that they may believe. You know, Jesus shows us our sin. He gives the Holy Spirit who convicts us of sin, of righteousness and judgment. And some people see their sin and see their need. Their eyes are open. They were blind to it before, but then one day it's like the gospel comes and it's a light bulb moment and they see the beauty of Christ and the salvation that he offers and the wretchedness of their own soul, and they see it. Why do they see? Well, because Jesus said, the reason I came into the world is so that the blind would see. So that we could see our sin. And so we could see our need of the only Savior of sinners. But Jesus also gives the opposite a reason. He said, I came so that the blind would see. But he also said, I came to make blind those who could see. I mean, isn't that interesting what he says there in verse 39? I've come into this world so that the blind will see, and that those who see will become blind. You know that the gospel has a blinding effect on those who can see. You know, those, again, who think they got it all together, they got it figured out, that they can see when the gospel comes, it blinds them. You can think of it this way. Do you know a know-it-all? And do you know-it-alls can't be taught a single thing? They already know it all. They already see it all. They got it all figured out. They don't need anybody to tell them anything because they know it all. They see. You know, the self-confident can't see their own corruption. The self-righteous cannot see their own sin. They are so caught up in knowing how good they are, they cannot see how corrupt they are. And so when the gospel comes and declares us all sinners and in need of a Savior, it in fact blinds them. And they cannot see their need. In fact, there's another very stark thing that Jesus says in John. Let's listen to this in John chapter 12, in verses 37 to 40. And it says, even after Jesus had performed so many signs in their presence, they still did not believe. An amazing thing. I mean, imagine being there and seeing all the amazing things that Jesus did, and you know, gave a guy sight who had been born blind and raising the dead. And I mean, all of these things that Jesus did. And he says, even after he did all of that, they still would not believe. And this was to fulfill the words of Isaiah the prophet. Lord, who has believed our message? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? And for this reason, they could not believe, because as Isaiah says elsewhere, he has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts so they can neither see with their eyes or understand with their hearts, nor turn, and I would heal them. And amazing, Jesus comes with these amazing miracles, with this powerful gospel message that is tailored to sinners. And after they see it all and hear it all, they still refuse to believe. Jesus, the light of the world, comes into the world. But men love darkness rather than light. And you might say they were blinded by the light. You know, the same light that enables sight can also cause blindness. Remember the eclipse a couple years ago, you know, and it's amazing, you want to go out and see it, but don't look at it because it could burn your eyes. And the same Jesus, the Son of God, the Son of righteousness, comes to the light into the world, and He gives sight to the blind, but those that think they can see, they are blinded by the light. Jesus prayed and mentioned something similar to this in Matthew 11, verses 25 and 26, where Jesus prays. He says, "At this time Jesus said, 'I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do.'" He came to hide these things from the wise and the learned. For those who could see, the light blinds them. But for those that are blind, He gives sight so they can see their sin and so they can see their need of a Savior. The reason that Jesus came was to give sight to the blind so that we can see ourselves as we are. And so we can see Jesus as He is. But He also came to take away sight from those who think they can see. And so they do not see their sin. And they cannot see their need of the Savior. This is the reason that He came into the world. To give sight to the blind. And to take away sight from those who think they can see. Well, the last one I'll have us to think about on the reasons Jesus Christ came in this kind of a positive and negative contrast. He came for sinners. He didn't come for the righteous. He came for sinners. He came to give sight to the blind and to take away sight from those who think they can see. But Jesus also said he came to separate. Jesus says He came to bring division. Again, this is another one of those things. Now, wait a minute. Are you sure Jesus Christ said He came to bring division? And there's a couple different places that Jesus mentions this. One in Luke chapter 12, verse 49 and following. But I'm going to read this one in Matthew 10, verses 34 to 36, where again he defines why He came or why He didn't come. Where Jesus says, "Do not suppose I have come to bring peace on the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's enemies will be the members of his own household." In the Luke passage, he said he didn't come to bring peace, but He came to bring a division or a sword. He came to separate. And this may be a shocking reason for us to think about on why Jesus came, but it is a very clear reason. Jesus said that He came to this earth to separate people. Now, at this time of the year, we often hear a lot about peace on earth, and it's a time for family togetherness. I mean, that's what the holidays are about, right? Jesus is the Prince of Peace, and peace on earth, peace. And about family togetherness. But here Jesus Christ clearly says He did not come to bring peace. I mean, He says, don't misunderstand me. He said, "I did not come to bring peace." He says, "I came to cause division." Now, this is important for us to remember because the gospel, Jesus' message, when he said, the reason that I came was to deliver this message, and it's a tailored message to a certain group of people, a group of sinners, but he says that his message is not a peace at all cost message. That is not the gospel, peace at all cost. His message is a peace only in Christ message. That the only way we have peace is to be in union with Christ, and then we have peace with God. And do you know that Christ's message is so exclusive? It's all about Him. It is so narrow that people will not accept this message. It is too exclusive and it is too narrow, and it causes divisions among people. This message that he brings, it doesn't bring peace, it separates people. I mean, Jesus said, strive to enter at the narrow gate. As many will try to enter in, but they will not be able to. It is so narrow that it divides people to those that go through the gate and those that do not go through the gate. And do you know that the person and work of Christ is a divider? When Christ came into the world, His very person and who He is and what He accomplished divides people. And you are either on one side or you are on the other. You are either for Him or you are against Him. And so He says, I did not come into the world to bring peace. I came to bring a sword. I came to divide. I came to separate. And people are separated on the person and the work of Jesus Christ. In fact, the separation and then the union with Christ is so strong, and it's such a stark separation that Jesus says it is stronger than family ties. Jesus came to separate a people and to unite them to Himself as a family, and that family is stronger than blood family here. Blood family with Christ is stronger than blood family with mom or dad. And you know, families can feel this division. I don't know how your family is, but if you know, you get together with families and they say, you know, there's two things you don't talk about. Just don't bring up with families. Just don't do it. Don't talk about politics, and you don't talk about religion. Now, why is that? Because those two things are pretty good dividers, are they not? And Jesus says, now don't get me wrong. I did not come to bring peace. I came to separate, and sometimes that separation even goes with the family, between father and son and mother and daughter-in-law, and it can separate people. I mean, you could just try it maybe at the family get-togethers coming up. Try bringing up the issue of sin. Just bring up the issue of sin, and where God says and Jesus says, there is no one righteous, no, not one. That there is no one who does good, not even one. And even our best works, the best I could ever do, the scripture says it is filthy rags. It's dirty, rotten, nasty. God will not accept one thing. Because I've never done a good deed in my whole life. But you bring that up, and you'll feel the separation. Oh, no, wait, I'm not that bad. I'm pretty good. And the self-righteousness just comes out, and the separation begins to happen, where people get defensive and they try to justify themselves. I'm not as bad as Jesus says that I am. And so Jesus' message that's tailored to sinners begins to separate sinners on what He declares us to be. Or what about the person and work of Christ? You bring up the truth that Jesus is the only way to heaven. That He is the way, the truth, the life, that no one comes to the Father but by Him. And all the howls and cries will come up. Oh, yeah, it's all right if you say Jesus is a good option. But you say Jesus is the only option, that He is the only way to heaven, and that every other religion is a false religion other than Jesus Christ. You know, you say that. And what does that do? It separates people. You can't be that narrow, you narrow-minded Christian. Well, that's the narrow road. That's the narrow gate. And it separates people. Jesus said, I didn't come to bring peace. I came to bring a sword. I came to separate a man against his father and a daughter against her mother and a daughter-in-law against the mother-in-law, and a man's enemies will be that of his own household. Because you stand up for Christ, and the hardest place sometimes to stand up as a Christian is in your own family. Because of Jesus' message about Him declaring us sinners and Him being the only Savior. And those two issues there separate the world. It divides us. And that's why Jesus said He came to do. You know, Jesus is the shepherd. He is the good shepherd. And in Matthew 25, He says in His second coming, in the second advent, when He comes, He's going to separate the nations. He's going to gather all the nations around Him for judgment, and He's going to separate them, and He's going to divide them as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. Because that is why He came. And you know, when Jesus separates, He gets all the world and He separates them into sinners and into the self-righteous. And you know, He keeps the sinners. He saves the sinners. He separates them into the group of the bad people. Guess what? I will redeem all of you. But all of you good people, you're on your own. He separates the world into sinners and self-righteous, and He saves the sinners for Himself. He divides the people among the blind and the seeing, and those that are blind and needy and can't do a thing for themselves. He says, I am the light of the world, and I will give you sight. And those sinners see their sin, and they see the beauty of Christ and the salvation that He offers, and they see and believe. But all the seeing people, who all they can see is their own goodness, their own self-confidence, that they cannot see their own inner corruption. They look at the cross and it is foolishness to them. And they become blind. Blind to the beauty of the gospel and of Jesus Christ who delivers it. You know, Jesus came to separate. To separate the world and to separate us from the world in order to unite us to Himself. That we become one in Christ. An inseparable bond that the Christian has with Christ, who is our Savior and Redeemer. And so in this season of the year where we try to remember the reasons for the season, there's a lot of reasons that Jesus gave why He came. But He knew His purpose. And He knew the reason that He came. Now, as we end this service this morning, I would like to ask you, what is your purpose in life? Do you know why you are here? I mean, these are big philosophical questions, but it's ones that we ought to grapple with. Why are we here at all, or even why are we here today? I mean, is there a reason that we're here at church on this Sunday? Is there a reason that maybe you're watching and listening on the video? What is the reason that you're here? Well, you know, if you're a sinner today, I have got great news for you. Because Jesus came into the world to call sinners to repentance. And if you're bad, I got good news. Jesus will save you. You know, if you're, you know, wondering why you're and you can't see some things and you don't understand some things, guess what? Jesus said, I came to give sight to the blind. And your reason is to see your sin and to see Christ for who He is, so that you might see and believe. And you know that your reason is to be separated from this world so that you could be united to Christ for all eternity in a forever family. You know, it is a family time of the year, and I hope you can rest assured in the eternal family of God that He calls us to. So we're going to stand. We're just going to sing one quick hymn of invitation. You got something? We're gonna rock it in a cappella, right? We're gonna. So what are we singing here?
This little light of mine.
This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Oh, let it shine.
That's a good one to end on. He is the light of the world and has made us light as well. And if you have eyes to see, hopefully you will return thanks to the gracious Lord who enabled your sight by the light of Jesus Christ. Well, as was announced earlier, we will not have an evening service. So if you're come here tonight, you're going to be all alone. So just to enjoy time in your home and with your family. And with that, we're going to be dismissed with a word of benediction and blessing. May the Lord bless you and may the Lord keep you. May the Lord cause His face to shine upon you and may He be gracious to you. May the Lord turn His face to you and may you have peace on this day and on every day and on that great day. Amen and amen. And you are dismissed.